I would like to call to order the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call, please, Mr. Kutaya?
Councilmember Aceves?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Perotti?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo?
Here.
Mayor Farr?
Here. Well, I see no slips for the public to speak, so we shall move on to amendments and adjustments to the meeting schedule here. If you would, Ms. Green?
Yes, Mayor and Council members, we have one minor adjustment. It's for item D1, which will be a public hearing in the evening session, but I wanted to call your attention to it now. The recommendation B has a repetition in the title of the ordinance. We just wanted to point out that we've made that correction and no other change in that item. That's all I have.
Sorry, if you would read us the consent calendar.
Item A1, amendment number 3 to agreement for professional services with STORE Environmental Services for environmental monitoring and compliance services. Item A2, Los Caneros Road overhead bridge replacement project amendment to a construction contract. Item A3, memo of understanding for funding the Crossing Guard Program. Item A4, award of contract for an operational and organizational assessment of the Planning and Environmental Review Department. Item A5, consideration of the 2017-18 City Council meeting schedule and City Hall holiday schedule.
Thank you. Are there any elements that wish to be pulled by council on the consent calendar?
No. Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. All right. Thank you. All right. Ms. Green, I think you're going to be coming front and center now with the propositions, if you would.
Yes, I will start you off, but we're fortunate today to have Dave Mullinax in our audience. I'm sure he'll be happy to provide additional information after my brief presentation, which should be on our screen momentarily.
That screen doesn't work.
Looks like we're almost there, but I'll just begin. As everyone, I hope, knows at this point, we do have a general election on November 8th, 2016. And typically, the League of California Cities reviews the propositions that are going to be on the ballot. And when they find propositions of interest to cities, then they notify member cities of their potential impacts and occasionally make recommendations for cities to pass resolutions that either support or oppose those propositions. This year, the league found that two of the eight propositions on the ballot that affected cities were of interest, and they're recommending that cities oppose Proposition 53, which is regarding revenue bonds and statewide voter approval. In addition, the league is recommending that cities support Proposition 54, the California Legislature Transparency Act of 2016. Briefly, I'll just give a description of the highlights of each. Proposition 53 would require statewide voter approval prior to the state issuing or selling any revenue bonds of $2 billion or more for state projects that are financed, owned, operated, or managed by the state or any joint agency created by the state. The league's position is that Proposition 53, if it were passed, would create a new set of procedures that would take away local control because it would require a statewide vote. Regional projects that would improve things like local water delivery systems, bridges, and roadways would be subject to control of voters that are in other areas of the state that wouldn't be served by those improvements, and would also not be required to pay for them. The new requirements could also require delays and might derail some projects and result in needed improvements and repairs not being conducted. Proposition 53 does not contain exemptions for emergencies or natural disasters as well. And in the view of the league, it sets a precedent that would limit local flexibility. Opposing Proposition 53 is actually consistent with the city's legislative platform, which opposes measures that undermine local control. And our platform actually supports initiatives that remove barriers and enhance tools and resources for infrastructure improvements. Moving on to Proposition 54. The California Legislature Transparency Act, it would prohibit the legislature from passing legislation until it's been in print and published online for at least 72 hours prior to a vote. However, in this case, there would be exceptions for public emergencies. Also, the legislature would be required to record all proceedings except for closed sessions, and make those recordings available online and allow for recordings to be shared. The league feels that Proposition 54 will enhance transparency and strengthen the accountability of the legislature and encourage deliberation of bills. It would also give an opportunity for our legislators to hear from constituents and deter last-minute bills and amendments. Also, having the public provided with access to recordings will enhance transparency and is consistent with our legislative platform that also recognizes the importance of transparency and in conducting the city's business in an open and public manner. So that concludes my comments, and I would like to invite Dave to our podium.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to see you, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm sure everybody has received their sample ballot catalog, probably about an inch thick. And unfortunately, this is going to be the new normal. It used to be where we'd have three election cycles every year. For these initiatives. Now, from now on, it will only be on even-numbered years, and the citizen-driven initiatives can only be in November on those even-numbered years, which means we'll have a large ballot every even-numbered year, and we can expect 15 to 20 initiatives on every single ballot from here on out. This is the first year with the new rule changes. And what you've also seen is of right now, we're closing in on $400 million that have been raised for just the initiatives here in California for this year. As pointed out, Prop 53 was actually put on the ballot by a millionaire family, the Cortopassis, living up in the Central Valley area. And they were they had a personal agenda of trying to derail the governor's water tunnels project. Billions of dollars to create the water tunnels that would divert money, water from north to south. And doesn't matter how you feel about that. The fact is that the initiative process should not be the domain of just rich people trying to put forward their agenda. Now, as pointed out by the city manager also, you would require every infrastructure project that required revenue bonds of $2 billion or more to go to a vote. Now, this also impacts local governments when it's a JPA is being formed. And if there's a project that JPA is doing that requires a larger project to be connected to it, then it becomes under that umbrella as well. So the challenge with that is local projects. Number one, we already have a huge backlog of infrastructure projects all over the state. Number two, if there's an infrastructure project that is necessary, say, in the north or in the south of the state, why would anyone in the north or the south vote? If somebody's in the north, why would you vote on that project that's going spending billions of dollars in the south? So, number one, we have a huge backlog. You have to wait 2 years to vote on the projects. And as also pointed out by the city manager, it does not have an emergency exemption language. So we have maybe an earthquake hits, destroys a lot of infrastructure. We need to build bridges and roads to get back on track. And then we have to go to a vote of the people on revenue bonds. You can see how this is poorly written and fraught with a lot of consequences that are unforeseen by the authors of the language. So right now what we have is the Prop 53, the Cortopassis and taxpayer groups are for it, who's against it, most local governments, public safety groups all over the state, and the California Chamber of Commerce are against this. You'll start to see there has not been a lot of polling on this particular initiative. There's, 17 initiatives, and there are some that are attracting more of the media headlines. But there has been some internal polling that has shown that that you'll start to see some commercials on the opposition side by the chamber, and the governor is also against it. And once voters see some of these, learn about the issue and the ads, they're trending the other way. Now, because there are so many initiatives on the ballot, that's why it's important for cities such as yourself, Goleta, to make a stand on these type of initiatives that impact us here locally, because your citizens look to you as council members, elected officials, especially when you have a full ballot and it's a complicated issue. They look to you for leadership and what they should, what's the right way to vote, or what's the way to vote that impacts us in a positive way locally. So the board of directors voted overwhelmingly to oppose this one. And again, we were working with many groups across the state, local jurisdictions, public safety, the governor, and the Chamber of Commerce. Now, Prop 54, those of you who have been around for a while have constantly heard me talk about when it's in the legislative session, when it's late in the session, could be like at 15, 20 minutes before the end of the session, there's a lot of insider backroom dealing going on, and rules that are supposed to help provide transparency and sunlight to the process are twisted up like a pretzel, quite frankly. And they are bent in every which way in order to make sure certain inside deals are cut. This particular bill, 54, would mandate that every bill that they're voting on is in print for 72 hours. Now, right now, bills can be, again, you have a month of the end of session, 1,000 bills to vote on. They're trying to jam things through back and forth, and especially special interest groups with lobbyists that can afford a lot of lobbyists up there. They cut these inside deals, and deals are actually sprung at the very end of session. Maybe it could be the last last hour of the session, and bills that have far-reaching impacts because they have a lot of juice, a lot of lobbyists, a lot of connections to the legislature. They can jam, they can literally take a bill, strip out all the language of that bill, and then fill it in with another bill. It's called a gut and amend process. And this is not good public policy. It is the very antithesis of transparency. And this particular bill would prevent these type of things from happening. And again, those of you who have heard me for a lot of years now rail about this, we have lobbyists that will be sitting there, and they'll literally have committee meetings with 10 minutes to go in the session in the hallway, and they'll make the political deal right there. This would prevent that from happening. This is also sponsored by former State Senator Sam Blakesley, and Digital Democracy is a public interest group that, again, tries to provide transparency to the public. They have a very good website that you can literally go and pull videos from that website on these type of legislative hearings. It's not mandated yet, but this would mandate, make sure everything is on record for the public to view. And believe it or not, the other side will literally, with a straight face, tell you that if you have too much transparency when they're trying to create a big deal, we'll have too much lobbying and it'll gum up the works. And they'll tell you that with a straight face, and that's why they need this bill not to go forward. So, again, it's absurd. This would provide the necessary transparency for citizens to view the bills before they're being voted on and to be able to weigh in on their opinions with their elected officials up there in Sacramento. And, again, we unanimously voted to support this particular bill. Again, there's not any polling on it. Charles Munger's son, Charles Munger Jr., is working with Senator Blakesley, providing some money for some polling and some radio spot and TV spots, a media campaign, and you'll see some of those as well. But again, it's very important for us to work with these groups. Again, public safety groups, cities, counties, special districts are definitely in support of this. And again, this will go a long way to providing more transparency, which we can never have enough of up there in Sacramento, because quite frankly, up there a lot of times they count on us not knowing what's going on up there. And these last-minute deals are why they get away with the things they get away with at times. So this would provide that, would prevent that type of insider trading and backroom dealing, and provide the necessary transparency and allow us to weigh in our opinions for very important bills that do come up at end of session. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? You look like you have one there, Mr. Bennett.
I'm just laughing.
I have a question. Where does the, on Proposition 53, does the governor's high-speed rail figure into this?
The governor's high-speed rail does not count on these type of revenue bonds right now. That's actually will probably end up in court, quite frankly, if this bill passes. And if that's the case, I'm sure they would be announcing that, because, as you know, a lot of the polling on the high-speed rail has been trending downward in a very stark way. But what we're concerned about, again, is, number one, we already do have a huge backlog. We're afraid also of the precedent that once these type of things happen, then they tend to bleed into local revenue bond type of approaches as well. And we definitely don't want that precedent to be set.
Yeah, well, the locals have certainly been beaten up enough by Sacramento, I would say. Any other questions of Mr. Mullinex? No.
I appreciate your time, and again, we'd encourage you guys to oppose Prop 53 and support Prop 54, and look forward to seeing all of you that will be at our annual conference later this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Green?
So we have two resolutions related to both of the propositions, and if council wants to take action on them, this would be the time. And I guess that concludes the item until you take your action.
Okay, well, I would say we should stand up and be counted here. So does anybody want to comment, or will...
I'd be happy to make the motion. I know I'm in favor of both these resolutions. I don't know. Judging by the smiles up here, I think we're all unanimous on that.
Okay, if you would do the honors.
Okay. I move that we consider Resolution 16 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta in opposition to Proposition 53, Revenue Bonds, Statewide Voter Approval, Constitutional Amendment, and Resolution 16 next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta in support of Proposition 54, the California Legislature Transparency Act of 2016.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Very good. Okay. Ms. Green, I think you're going to lead us in another discussion here.
Yes, I have the next item as well. We're kind of following a theme here today. The next item relates to the establishment of our ad hoc legislative issues committee for the 2017 calendar year. And if council will recall, about this time each year, we ask you to establish a new ad hoc legislative issues committee and to appoint two council members to serve in an advisory role to the rest of council by reviewing the draft legislative platform, providing input, and proposing any amendments that you feel are appropriate. Last year, we had Mayor Farr and Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo serve on the committee, and meetings of the ad hoc committee are held on an as-needed basis because it is ad hoc. Once the final recommendations regarding the platform are presented to council, the committee ceases to exist, and that's worked very well for us because we have a very robust legislative platform that allows staff to move quickly on any number of legislative advocacy efforts as bills come up and as the league notifies us of important matters. So at this time, staff requests that council establish the 2017 committee and appoint two members. And just very briefly, when the committee considers the recommended changes to the platform, they are looking at a draft that staff has already taken the time to update for them. So it reflects the information gathered from the league in their annual reports and briefings, as well as information provided by the department directors that may also be aware of issues that affect the city that are coming up in the near future. We're planning to bring the platform to council for adoption in December after the committee has had their chance to review and provide input on the draft platform. There's no fiscal impacts associated with appointing creating a committee and appointing two members to it.
All right, Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Mr. Sevens had to join me on that committee. I think you were ill, and I seem to recall vividly being in those meetings with Councilman Aceves. So that may be a typo on the, or maybe it just needs to be updated.
Yeah. Okay. Duly noted. So okay. I stand corrected. Thank you for the clarification.
Not that it's a huge issue, but I just wanted to clarify.
No, that's an important distinction. Thank you.
And I would be happy to serve again this coming year. I don't know if is it tradition that the mayor and mayor pro tem serve on this committee?
Actually, that was my question. Is there precedent for how we do the second round here?
There's no requirement to do it any particular way. We've followed the mayor pro tem model in some years, but not every year. So it just depends on what council would like to do.
Well, it makes sense to me that the mayor pro tem would be one of the members. What about the other? Do anybody have any strong feelings on that?
Will this be coming back the beginning of December then? The first meeting in December? No.
I think we've had it the second meeting in December, because typically if we have the first meeting as more of our ceremonial meeting with the changing of the guard and bringing on new council members. We like to limit it to as few business items mm-hmm. as we can. So usually it's the second meeting.
Okay.
Well, where are we then? We've got, I think we agree we should have the mayor pro tem do it again. What about our other member?
I believe Councilman Aceves is next in line to be mayor pro tem, and so...
Is that okay? Just follow the order? Yeah, okay, then all those in favor...
I mean, is that okay with everybody else, though? I know.
I don't know. We'll give them a chance to vote, please.
Yeah, is it okay with you?
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. I don't have an interest. I've served in the committee before. At least a couple of times.
Probably.
So, but if and I would agree. I believe that the mayor pro tem, who has traditionally stepped up to be the mayor when we come with the reorganization, absolutely should be a part of it. And I think that Councilmember Aceves is in fact the next person in line, as I recall. I haven't thought about it, but I believe so.
I think
so. In any case, I would make that recommendation. I think that's. What I would recommend.
All right, then. Do we have a quorum on this?
Well, I think Councilman Bennett's making a motion, I think. And
well, I wasn't sure we were up for one yet. I want to make sure everybody's had a chance to talk.
Well, the only comment I wanted to make, if I could, is that the reason why we've always had the mayor and the mayor pro tem is because they become very familiar with the package, and they're the ones that sign the letters.
That's a good point.
So there isn't, you know, an educational... component there. They already know what's in there. And it worked well last year as far as bringing the document to council. And in fact, I don't think there was much discussion. I think it was almost on the consent calendar.
Okay. Would you like to make them? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just one comment. I was just concerned because this is an election year. So I'm hoping that if Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo and Councilmember Aceves. You're going to actually need to do this before the beginning of December, I would guess in November, because there's no guarantee. I mean, we have an election.
Sure.
No, it's, in my understanding, it's supposed to be brought to council in December. It'll be done.
Right, so it has to be done in
It'll
November.
Be done.
Okay, that was my concern. Otherwise, I'm fine with it.
And just to add to that, we already have a draft that has been updated, so the committee could get to work almost immediately, as soon as we can schedule a meeting.
All right, thank you, Ms. Ferrotti. Okay, now, would you like to make a motion there, Councilmember Bennett?
Yes, I would. I'll do adopt resolution number 16 next in order, entitled Resolution City Council of the City of Goleta, California, establishing an ad hoc 2017 Legislative Issues Committee and appoint council members and Mayor Pro Tem Tony Vallejo and Roger Aceves. As our committee members.
Sir.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, now, is there, I think we've come to the end of our regular business here. Is there a need to meet in closed session, Mr. City Attorney?
Yes, Mayor, there is a need for the City Council to meet in closed session this afternoon on several items, conference with legal counsel on pending litigation pursuant to California Government Code Section 54956.9D1 with regard to the pending case of City of Goleta versus Cohen that's pending in the Sacramento Superior Court. Also, a conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9D2 with respect to one matter of threatened litigation. We also have an opportunity for the council to meet with real property negotiator pursuant to Section 54956.8 with regard to the following properties, APN 071-130062, APN 071-170082, and APN 071-190034. No reportable action is anticipated from these meetings.
All right, thank you. This is an opportunity now to for the public to address matters we will be discussing in closed session. If anybody has that intent, now's the time. No, apparently not. So we will now adjourn the afternoon session of the Goleta City Council and go into closed session.
Like a harbor light, you're lost in the night. Unless there's love, the world's an empty place, and every town's a lonely town.
It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one. Who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. It's nice work if you can get it, and you can get it. Won't you tell me how? If you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Strolling with the one girl, sighing sigh after sigh. Ooh, nice work if you can get it, and you can get it if you try.
I would like to call to order the evening session of the Goleta City Council. Will you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Now, Madam Clerk, if you would call the roll.
Councilmember Seves?
Here.
Councilmember Bennett?
Here.
Councilmember Perotti?
Here.
Mayor Pretend Vallejo?
Here.
Mayor Farr?
Here. Are there, now is the time for public forum. We have some speaker slips, but they are all related to a matter we're going to be discussing. So are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we're going to add a report out of closed session by our city attorney.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, just for the public's benefit, we did meet in closed session this afternoon on two matters of litigation and three matters regarding property acquisition that are noted on the agenda. No reportable action was taken on any of those items.
All right, now we'll begin with a presentation. Madam Clerk, do you want to read this out?
Of course. Item C1, Community Outreach Plan for the Goleta Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan.
Okay, and Rosemary Gaglione and James Winslow are going to brief us on this. Please.
Go ahead, James. Okay. Mayor Farr, council members, members of the public, my name is James Winslow. I'm a senior project engineer in the Public Works Department, and we're here today to give you an update on the community outreach plan for the bicycle and pedestrian master plan that we have going. Missing a... No worries? Excellent. Thank you so much. As you're aware, and for members of the public, we have an existing bicycle transportation plan that we adopted from the county when we incorporated, and we did a minor update in 2009 for one small project. So we've received a grant for $203,415 from the Sustainable Communities for a planning grant to update that. And that's what we're moving forward with today. And the goals of the Bicycle Master Plan, just to reiterate them for you, are really a comprehensive update to that existing plan, which incorporates pedestrian. Currently, it's just bicycle, and it's really important to include pedestrian walking. So that's a significant update to that plan and a goal of the project. As well, identify gaps and barriers in our network of both walking and bicycling so that we can figure out how to close those barriers or gaps and remove barriers and facilitate alternative modes of transportation. Of course, we want to develop the metric and methodology so that we can move forward with a list of projects and prioritize them according to council's directive and the best means we have. We also want to take this opportunity to update our street road standards, the design guidelines, and that's a component in phase two that we'll be looking at doing under this project. And when we look at streets, we'll have a design guidance to follow for designing those roadways. And of course, we want to encourage walking and biking as much as possible, including other modes of transportation. But we're here today to really talk about the community outreach plan and how we're moving forward with the outreach to the community. It's really important to engage the community. And so we really want to encourage participation in this process in our public workshops. We want to encourage everyone, but especially residents, to complete the survey. We have an online survey as well as a printed survey that will be available. And so encourage as many individuals to complete the survey. We really want to have opportunities that are meaningful for interested parties, the real stakeholders who use our streets, use our sidewalks, use our bike lanes and bike paths to have input in this process and facilitate that communication back and forth and that dialogue. And then we want to make sure we have the same and clear and consistent messages across the board and in community. So what's our schedule look like for this? We've already been to the Lemon Festival last Saturday on the 24th, and we went to the Farmers Market on Sunday, the 25th. The survey is up and running. It is online. It's on the city website, and I'll show you that in a minute, as well as there's a link, and we have postcards. Where are they? Survey postcards to hand out. We'll show them later, but they're in Spanish on one side, English on the other, with a QR code that you can use and link at the bottom. So it's really handy. We're going to have workshops at the community center in November. We're going to have translators there. We'll also have a workshop at UCSB, and that'll be really the first phase. You know, the pop-up booths at the Farmers Market and the Lemon Festival. We're really just engaging the community, getting the word out there, getting the website, you know, survey up, and just getting information on the paper maps. The workshop will be the two workshops will be more engaged and more detailed with booths, or not booths, but tables around to really people can engage, interact with a small presentation at the beginning. So those will be held at the community center, so in Old Town, as well as UCSB to really capture, you know, the student population. And then we're going to have another technical advisory committee meeting in December, and we'll have those probably quarterly until the end of the process. And the role of the advisory committee is really just, you know, helping us through the process, and I'll talk a little bit more of that in a minute. Again, more advisory committee meetings. We're going to have two follow-up workshops probably in March, and that'll be after all the analysis process, bringing everything back together, engaging the community again on here's the plan, Here's what we're thinking. Here's a draft outline of some of the projects, and getting more feedback and being able to take that back and hone in on the final plan. And then coming back to council probably in May to have that dialogue with council as well. Ongoing throughout the whole process, we're going to have a regular Monarch press articles. We've already had a couple. We're going to have another one this month. Regular website updates. Of course, the survey is going to be online until or through March, you know, that and those second workshops. What's that? Yeah, and the public will be welcome at the Technical Advisory Committee meetings. Here's an example of some of the flyers we put out for the events at the Lemon Festival and the Farmers Market last weekend, Spanish and English. Your packets have copies of the survey, and you can see that again, Spanish and English with a map at the end. Pretty standard, some typical questions. We hope we get a lot of good feedback on those. We've already gotten a lot of comments on the map, and I can show you that in a minute. Again, here's the card, a little postcard handout that has a QR code and the website link for the survey and the map. And then we hand those out. This is an example of the pedestrian facility map that we have at the tables. So at the two pop-up events and at the future workshops, there's a map that people will be able to mark up, and they do. They come in, they just, you know, here's issues, here's what we see, here's what we want to see, here's good, here's bad. And it's fun to engage with them, you know, at the Lemon Festival and the other places, and have them marking up the maps. It's really positive. And of course, the bicycle map, same thing. And I can show you some examples of that later. Coming. So Lemon Festival, we had a great turnout. I think on Saturday, close to 175 people stopped by, and comments all over the map. It was really, you know, really marked up well. Just a lot of people interested in what we were doing, interested in hearing about the process and giving their input. Same thing at the farmers market. I think we had about 75 people stop by our booth there and had some really engaging and lively conversations. Again, I think the public is, the community is really ready for this and engaged. And, you know, we're seeing that feedback at these pop-up events. So I think looking forward to some good data to analyze and bring into the master plan as a result of the community engagement. So again, I think we had over 250 participants by our estimates at the two events. It's kind of hard to track that, you know, groups of twos and threes and fours, but I think we had a really good turnout. We did distribute about 70 postcards at the event handout, so that's a pretty good amount. And I'll come back and show you some of the online map and some of the comments in a minute at the end. But what are our next steps? You know, now that we've started the community engagement, we've got the pop-up events have been held. We're going to be, again, the community center and UCSB in November for real hands-on workshops. We're going to have the online survey, like I said, going through March. And then what we'll be doing throughout this process is analyzing that data, bringing it all in, our consultant KTU plus A. We'll be compiling all that and preparing options and working on the draft plan, working with us closely to bring it all together. And then again, the follow-up workshops, once we kind of have a draft plan of where we're going and some options, that will be in March. And again, I mentioned the council in May. Part of that process, again, inventorying our street networks, you know, where do we need facilities? Where do we have gaps in our network? Where do we have barriers to walking and cycling? So that's a lot of the analysis and assessment that will be going on. What are the demographic trends? You know, if you have a park in this area, what's the walking time from different neighborhoods? And if you were to install different facilities, would that increase the commute time for walkers or cyclists? Those are some examples of looking at the demographic trends and how it would fit into the process. And again, like I talked about, phase two, really looking at our street design standards and having those being drafted and prepared so that we're able to use those for future projects. Again, some of our improvements that could happen, you know, path repairs, expansion of paths, support facilities, you know, different lighting or crosswalk intersection controls. Those are all options of projects that could come out of this process and be a part of the master plan. Coordination. We talked about our technical advisory committee. We have a list of members that have, you know, really already expressed interest, and we already had a kickoff meeting related to this in July. So City of Goleta, again, Public Works, of course, you know, I'm there. But we also have included planning. And our community relations manager, Valerie, is there. County of Santa Barbara, UCSB, of course, City of Santa Barbara. Kane Chamber of Commerce has been invited. Coast is there. SB Bike has been invited and is participating. MTD. And then members from the Old Town Community Association. We are looking at others that might be interested in joining the TAC for the next meeting. Welcome for that. Again, these will be public meetings. We're looking at holding some here at City Hall, as well as some at the community center to facilitate participation in those meetings. And at this point, if there's any questions, I can also bring up the online survey and map.
If you'd, okay, first we'll have some questions from the City Council, and then we will have public comment, and then we'll kick it around a little more. Yeah, Mr. Aceves.
Thank you. Would you go back to the group of the prior one? The group that you're involved in. There you go. You first started talking about UCSB and going out and having a meeting. I assume that's with the students. But now I see you have UCSB in the advisory committee. I assume that is with their transportation department, perhaps? Or is it people? I guess my question is, when UCSB did the LRDP, they used our traffic plans, basically, to kind of incorporate so we're on the same page. Are we taking that same approach dealing with them and a bicycle plan?
UCSB, to answer your first question, the point of the workshop at UCSB, you know, being holding it there, is engaging the students. There's a lot of students that live in our community and use our streets and networks and roads to get to campus, as well as faculty and staff. So the point of holding a UCSB one is to engage those three primary groups, students, faculty, staff at UCSB, on their ground, and hopefully have more participation in the workshop. The role of the Technical Advisory Committee, UCSB, we've invited two members, and it's the same ones associated with the Winter Sustainability Forum, and their I forget what division he's in. But it's not students and faculty in the advisory committee. It's members of UCSB who are involved in their transportation and outreach.
Okay, that was my key question. Were there folks that can influence UCSB's transportation plan so that it's compatible with whatever plan that we create?
Yes, those people have been invited and did show up to the first meeting.
Okay, and my final question has to do with MTD. We're currently encouraging a lot of our buses now are having bike racks put on them, so we're bringing a lot of bikes from Santa Barbara out to UCSB. Will there be a dialogue between MTD and us and UCSB as to coordinate once they arrive in Goleta and how it fits in the plan?
Yes. Another reason for having MTD representatives as part of the Technical Advisory Committee, that is a big component of alternative transportation. You know, you're right. You know, students, myself, put a bike on the bus to get around, and then when you're off, it's that last mile effect. You know, you got the bus stop, and then you use your bike to get to your job, to your workplace, to your school. We're coordinating with them heavily. I did a presentation at the UCSB Sustainability Forum with MTD as well, and we had the similar conversations. You know, they were talking about their ridership usage, their bus route expansions, how do we handle more bikes on the buses. You know, that was the types of things they were talking about at that meeting, and I was presenting on the bicycle master plan. So we're coordinating with them and communicating with them, and you know, I can't speak to how they'll use the data, but they are part of the process, and they'll be able to use that if they want to make decisions on how their bus routes are, where they get off, or how many bike racks to put on. So,
okay. And then finally, you said you're coming back to council in May?
Correct.
Okay. I assume that the grant you received is dealing with the planning process.
Yes.
But will the May meeting also incorporate the sustainability of any programs to be considered for budget incorporation.
Would you like to answer that one? Yeah, the grant...
Give it your best shot.
Thank you. The grant is a planning grant, and when we come back in May, we will have a list of projects to present to council, you know, along with a draft version of the plan that we vetted with the community. The natural outcome of that would be, you know, if council, you know, based on discussion, and it's probably going to be, I mean, I've had a conversation, a bigger workshop, not just a presentation like this, of course, but a bigger dialogue with you guys, with council, on what the projects are going to be, how to prioritize them, you know, do you agree with the prioritization we have? And after that, I would assume we would figure out how to fund those. We would come up with budget material, you know, funds for funding those projects. The in terms of programmatic, we would have to go through a CEQA process as well. This is a master plan. In order to really become a program, we would have to do some type of CEQA on those projects. And so that is also something we'll be wrapping in. We're going to have to fund that as well. That's in phase two, is some CEQA work so that it's incorporated into the process.
Thank you. I would also see, once we have that list and that prioritization, that would allow us to inform what projects we're going to chase grant money for. Yeah. You know, so that everyone is in agreement about what the priorities are, and then start trying to match those against specific grant opportunities.
And Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. First, let me commend you, Mr. Winslow, for being out there at the Lemon Festival and the Farmers Market. I was at the Lemon Festival, and that was the hottest weekend of the year, and you were out there both days. So I'm glad you survived without any heat stroke or anything like that. Again, going back to the groups we're inviting, I think that's a really good list. But have we reached out to, and I see one of their representatives here, to the retirement communities in town, like Encina and Marvia, to make sure that, you know, that they're in the loop as far as input goes? I know he's here to speak. I can see his name at the top here. But, you know, they have a lot of questions about especially pedestrians and their safety. So I'd like to think we're reaching out to them as well as part of this.
Yeah. Our primary outreach to them has been through COAST, you know, mm-hmm. Safe Routes to Seniors, and using them as the main gateway for communicating to their organization, their members, what's going on, and getting input and feedback. We did just have a conversation recently about inviting holding a workshop at Marvia.
Oh, good idea.
If that would be or Encina Rural mm-hmm. Housing, so that it would facilitate. They wouldn't have to leave. You know, it'd be, you mm-hmm. know, coming to them, just like we do going to Old Town or UCSB. Mm-hmm. You know, similar concept.
Okay.
And so we've had that conversation. We're trying to figure out how to do it.
Great. And then also, what about the schools? Are we working with the public schools,
yeah,
or private schools too, for that matter? Because their kids are walking or riding bikes. Have we at least put the postcards out at the schools or sent them home with parents or something like that?
Not yet. The printed material should be going out this week.
Excellent.
Our community relations manager just sent out an email recently to the principal, mm-hmm. Superintendent of Schools for Goleta Unified School District, letting him know what was going on. Information, you know, linked to the website, as well as, you know, a request on is this information you'd like to get out as an email blast to your students, mm-hmm. and parents, or handout materials, just kind of, you know, facilitating that. We've discussed inviting, you know, some people on this list, someone from the school, you know, a representative from the school district, or mm-hmm. You know, some
PTAs,
representative,
yeah,
yep, PTAs, mm-hmm. and as well as the I'm blanking right now. I'm sorry.
It's still that heat recovery.
Thank you. The health professional, our community. Help me out here, somebody, please. Our community.
I was in the same heat, James.
The new facility on Kyrie Real.
Neighborhood clinic.
Thank you,
yes.
So much. We have a new location over there, and I've been in conversation with them.
Yeah.
You know, the groups that we've gone to and sought out for letters of support, mm-hmm. for all of our grants, you know, mm-hmm. those are the same types of groups that we are inviting to participate in this TAC, because, you know, they help us out, and they have access to populations that we don't normally mm-hmm. engage. And so having them as a part of this and really involved helps
their members to be involved, I think. And okay. So that's part of two different groups that are on this list that we're making inquiries to see if they'd like to participate.
Good. Yeah. And along those lines, then, I would also suggest the community center. Old Town's a tough market to crack as far as reaching the public. I know Ms. Kushnerov's had challenges with that in the past, so I think the community center there does a good job. And I don't know I know MTD's involved, but if they want to hand out some of those cards, if we can put them at their bus stops or something, that'd be great too. Those are people that they're getting to the bus stop somehow. They're probably walking or riding a bike, so they're intimately involved in this.
Good idea.
You set me up. Certainly, those kids are walking through the new path we just built, but the parents there, they probably have concerns about their kids getting there. So,
yes.
Well, you keep teeing them up for me, though, don't you, Mayor?
All right, Councilmember Perotti.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Mr. Winslow and Rosemary Gaglione, for actually, this is actually happening. I mean, I think this is something that's been on my wish list since 2010, since I started. So it's so exciting to see it getting to this point. So thank you. I have a few questions, but I just want to make a quick comment on a couple people have come to me, well, quite a few actually, and they really didn't realize that you had a booth at the Lemon Festival and or at the Farmers Market. So I'm wondering if, as Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo suggested, reaching out to other... will this limit how many workshops we have? I mean, we've already had two, and it looks like there's four scheduled, but might we take the opportunity to reach out to more groups if needed? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I think, the more outreach we do, the more team building we do, the more engaging of stakeholders and getting input, the more successful this is going to be and the less... difficulties later on in the process we might have with it. So I'm not opposed to that. I think it's conversations we can have and how we can adjust budget and cover it and get the consultant up here to help us out with that or us do it ourselves for some of those. I think we have the capabilities to do that.
Do you by chance know how many workshops? I should have done the homework on this and I didn't. How many workshops? I know Santa Barbara recently completed their bicycle pedestrian master plan. I'm just curious to how many workshops they had and how involved. I see Eva and Bart holding her head. I'm just curious.
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
But I mean, did look at their plan to make sure that we were, community outreach is really important for this.
Yeah,
this
it seemed like it went on for quite a while. as far as the surveys, thank you so much for making hard copies as well as having it online for those that maybe don't have access to online surveys. I might suggest having those also at the community center, the library, different places that we can come up with. I think that would be really helpful. I'm curious to whether we're going to do any kind of advertisement about this on our Channel 19. I'm just trying to reach all the possibilities of getting the word out so we don't have anybody say, oh, I didn't know anything about this and I would have loved to participate.
Those are all great ideas. They're all in the hopper, to be honest with you. We have the printed material. We've identified the community center. We've also identified reaching out with the Santa Cruz Market and putting them there. Of course, libraries on our list, putting them on there. I didn't show the slide on where we were putting them. I apologize. I should have had that in there more. A city hall, both counters will have them. We're talking with our community relations manager. We've and at the kickoff meeting with the consultant and the consultant's outreach, our subcontractor. We did discuss Channel 19, but more importantly, Spanish television interviewing. Mm-hmm. So being interviewed with a translator and having that be on the Spanish network was really a great idea that I think we're going to try to pursue. And I know Ms. Krishnoff is on that, and we're working closely together to make sure that happens.
Great.
All of our events at the community center, in places we're going to have Spanish translators at. Interesting side note, we didn't have anybody fill out a printed copy of the survey at either booth over the weekend. We had them there. We had clipboards, 68 clipboards, and no one filled out. They all took, you know, cards. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure what the feedback will be on the printed ones, but we're definitely going to have them and have them in the places that we just talked about and that you had mentioned. So,
okay, yes. And they'll know where to hand them back in.
That's something I've been thinking about, you know, yeah. How we're going to get them back in. And
yeah. How do we get them?
A Dropbox or, you know, whatever it's going to be.
And I think reaching out to the PTAs is a brilliant idea. They may even want you to come and speak briefly at one of their meetings. I know how involved most of them are with walking.
And I know the Community
biking.
Association has been interested in us coming back to give an update on some of the projects like this one. So I know we'll probably be speaking at one of their events here soon.
I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mr. Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, would like to thank you for all the work that's gone forward and putting the puzzle together so far, as far as the outreach being probably the most critical, because without input, you're not going to end up with a quality product. I'd like to offer up, though, with all those participants, they each have means of contact within their respective organizations. And it would seem to me, I know I've been on a lot of committees, have been involved in a lot of different issues, but engaging them to reach out to their respective stakeholders could really expand the ability to make contact with people and to have this outreach really go forward. And I think that I wouldn't be bashful asking them as they attend to be a participant as opposed just attending a meeting, because we all attend way too many meetings. But I think this way that you would keep them better engaged. And they would maybe learn something themselves in regards to the people that they represent and those that they can reach and make contact with. We might get some really solid information that would be beneficial. And as you've said already a couple times, the more information we get, the more folks that provide input, the better product ultimately that we're going to develop. So I think that would be just a suggestion on my part to help it be more successful. There's no doubt in my mind it'll be very successful, just more successful.
Councilmember Bennett, that's a great point. I would be remiss if I didn't speak to and give thanks to many of the groups on there. If you recall, part of landing this grant is not just the work that we put into it, but also the contribution in kind that organizations like SB Bike, Coast, UCSB, in preparing this grant that I reached out to and said, hey, do you wanna help us out with this? We're gonna be including you in this process and outreach and engagement and engaging your members. Would you be willing to document that as an in-kind contribution to the grant? And I firmly believe that's one of the reasons why we landed the grant, is because we had significant participation, not just, oh yeah, they're going to attend meetings, but there's a dollar amount of volunteer work associated with that they'll be contributing. And so I think that lends itself to saying that, yeah, they're going to be engaging their members as well. And I think that's a positive result.
Okay. Well, I'll be looking forward till May when you come back to council with your product. I'd like to see that.
All right. Now we would like to have several members of the public come forth and speak in this order, if you would. I have five slips: Steve George, Cecilia Brown, and Eve Sanford.
First of all, thank you, Mayor Farr and City Council. Some of you have already taken a little wind out of my sail, and thank you. My main point of coming up today was to thank you for actually including pedestrians in the master plan. I recognize originally it was a bicycle-only plan, and it really needs to be both. One thing, and we've touched on it a little bit, is the area that I call Newtown, which is the Fairview-Cayo-Real area. Has the majority of the schools in our area, has most churches, it has neighborhood clinic, it has the library, it has two major retail corridors, has the cerebral palsy residential facility, Elks Club, two major senior centers with about 700 to 800 residents, as well as a significant percentage of the population in Goleta. And you omitted us from a location of having input. Now I recognize we can go to the Goleta Lemon Festival or we can go to the Farmers Market, but a lot of our people don't attend those things. So we would just ask that somewhere in our community, on the Newtown Goleta, to have a presence. And maybe the library, Encino Royale, Marvia, somewhere. The other thing that I'm curious about, because I didn't see them on the list, would be the major shopping centers. A lot of our pedestrian issues and bicycle issues happen on private property. And a lot of Goleta is made up of private property. How do we integrate or get them involved in some dialogue around what they might do to contribute to this master plan? It can't all just be around all of these huge shopping centers, Calle Real, Fairview Marketplace. All of them have contribute to some of the issues. So thank you very much, and that's what I want to say.
Good afternoon or good evening, Mr. Mayor. Happy first Monday in October. Thank you very much for doing this. It's been a long time in coming. I'm very glad to see the emphasis on pedestrians, and I echo the comments of the last speaker. I live at the very eastern border of the city of Goleta, and we have a lot of pedestrians, elders like myself, kids, people from the unincorporated area going to the major shopping centers, bicyclists, just a whole host of folks, and I think it's really important that we don't forget that corner, that one quarter of the city, because there are quite a few pedestrians, particularly going to the shopping centers. So I thank you very much for the very robust start you have to this process. I think it's really great. Your tentacles are in a lot of places, and that's going to be very helpful, and I look forward to attending some of the meetings and seeing something done for bicyclists and pedestrians. Thank you.
Thank you. Eve Sanford.
Hi, Eve Sanford with the Santa Barbara Bicycle Coalition. I'm just here to say that we're very excited to see the wheels rolling on the Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan here, or I guess the shoes walking. We are a member of the Technical Advisory Committee. We're really excited. I think that this is a long-awaited opportunity to strategically plan and ways to strengthen the transportation network that will serve the community's needs. I'd like to reiterate some of the comments that have been made today. It's a really great TAC that's full of organizations that are doing really good work in the community, and I strongly encourage you to lean on us for communicating about the events as dates become planned and plans become finalized. We'd be happy to share them with our communication channels. We have a number of members in the Goleta area have drawn public meetings with up to 50 people that are just super eager to talk about this topic. And so lean on us and other members of the TAC, some of whom are here. I'm really excited to see the survey materials moving forward in English and Spanish. I hope the online one, I haven't had a chance to pop on and try it, but I really hope that it's also in Spanish. It looks like it probably is. As far as getting that out to groups, I'd love to see that sent to the PTAs, to schools, the Boys and Girls Club, and to take advantage of some of the biking and walking events that are taking place in the next month, such as Bow Wow, the biking and walking to school event. It's a once-a-year event, but I'd love to see it become more of a regular habit, and that's a great opportunity to ask parents, you know, what kind of infrastructure needs do you have to make this more of a sort of regular thing for your family? In addition, there's a lot of opportunity to do some targeted outreach. I know that you can do it looks like online is the more popular, or the digital survey is more popular. So it looks like you have two outreach events planned. And in order to maybe reach some of those other neighborhoods, something you could do is just taking that iPad with a sort of hotspot of internet out to a park or out to a library. Something that I've seen successfully done in other cities is actually intercepting people on the bike path while they're out biking and walking with their family. You know, if you can get an internet connection to your iPad, which I'm sure that you guys have the IT people to help that happen. You can kind of get them while they're out there and get that firsthand experience from a broader sort of cross-section of the city. And we'd love to see that happen. And we're excited to see this project moving forward and happy to help you wherever we can. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Sandberg. And thank you for all the good work your organization does for cyclists on the South Coast. Okay, we have a couple more that we've picked up here, so we have four to go. Michael Lisa is next, and then David Medagian, it looks like.
Hi, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having me here today. I'm, like everyone else here, I'm very excited about this moving forward. I think it's a great opportunity for the city to really develop a comprehensive transportation for not just cars, but also alternative transportations, which I think will be more and more important in the future. And while I'm glad that this has been brought up, or that you had a couple of meetings already, I think at this point, I haven't had the opportunity to access the information. And so if I haven't had the opportunity, and I'm a bike nerd, I feel like maybe there's a lot more people out there that haven't had this opportunity. So I'd like to request, you know, you guys did a great job with the recreation plan that you guys came up with for the city. You guys had quite a few outreach meetings where a lot of the different neighborhoods input was involved. We had a meeting out at Brandon School. We had meetings out at other public schools. And I just thought that was a great way to get the community input. And so I'd like to request at least a couple more meetings where public outreach, where you have meetings in different neighborhoods. I think, and I'm hoping for that this plan is going to be an A+. And I'm really hopeful that that can happen. And I think if we have the proper outreach, if we engage just like you guys are doing, but, you know, with gusto, if we engage the community and really look and take seriously what the community is giving to you in terms of input, I think we can really make this an A+. And a plug for the Bow Wow was already done, and I'm glad that was done, and it's actually this Wednesday at Brandon School, so I hope to see some of you guys there, all you guys there. I hope to see all you guys there. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Hello, City Council, Mayor. I'm also a bike guy. I've been riding to work for over 30 years now, and 20 of those years have been from Nalita to Raytheon and Goleta here. But the reason I'm speaking tonight is I'm also Scoutmaster for Troop 4, which meets on Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on Fairview, and we're sponsored by the Elks. And we take our boys, Troop 4, on lots of high adventures. We do snow camping and river rafting and rock climbing. And the most dangerous thing is probably when they ride their bikes to our troop meeting. Right. So we have a lot of boy safety rules in the Boy Scouts, and we try to protect our boys as much as we can. And we're in control when we're having adventures, but we're not in control on these streets here because they just aren't safe. I just don't feel good about my own son riding on the streets here or my Boy Scout troop. One of my older boys commutes to UCSB, and that's a pretty safe trip. The other boy goes to City College, and it's just not safe to get there from Goleta. And this boy, I want to have him drive a car first before he rides a bike, even though I'm a bike nut. So we need lots of work to do here. Good luck.
All right, thank you. We have two more. Looks like Cameron Gray, followed by Eva Inbar.
Good evening, Mayor Farr and Goleta City Council members. My name is Cameron Gray. I'm speaking on behalf of Community Environmental Council. Our nonprofit is focused on supporting regional solutions to climate change but solutions that will also improve our quality of life. And we really believe that these bicycle and pedestrian master plans provide a great opportunity to pair those two things together, sustainability and quality of life. We want to thank city staff for the work that they have done so far. We're very pleased that they got a Sustainable Communities grant, and we look forward to participating in a robust public input process for the Goleta Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan. Definitely believe that the Santa Barbara Bicycle Master Plan process can offer up some lessons learned. Engaging stakeholders early, especially if issues are controversial, will save resources, we believe. Engaging businesses, especially if there's parking removal, those types of things, is a great idea. And ultimately, yeah, just want to thank staff again and very much look forward to participating in this process.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. I'm Eva Inbar. I'm the president of COAST, Coalition for Sustainable Transportation. And COAST is excited to be involved with the Technical Advisory Committee. We feel very honored we were included, and we would be very happy to send out any communications out through our networks. So please, if you want any messages to get out there, please include us, and we will send it to our network. We already are hearing a lot of interest in the bike master and pedestrian master plan from our membership, particularly from seniors who are interested in walking issues. You have some great people here in the city of Goleta, so I urge you to pay particular attention to those needs, pedestrian needs, and also consider holding a workshop in the Cala Real and Encina Royal area. Maybe those great seniors there will be willing to host a meeting at their beautiful clubhouse there. It would be a great central location that could include some of the neighborhoods there in the back. So I want to throw that idea out there. Maybe they'll be interested in looking into that. So good work, and we look forward to being part of the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that concludes the public comment here. And as always, you know, we're always impressed with the quality of the comments that are made and the interest that people take in what we're doing here, and we have a very strong staff. Several of you have commented, and it's nice that you lend your support to make sure we're going to develop this bike path that's going to serve our area well. So we'll we have the opportunity for council to have another word or two. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say I can also show the map if someone would like to see.
Okay. Let's, I think Councilmember Perotti wants to comment while he's pulling up the map.
I just wanted to really acknowledge what we heard here tonight and take it very serious that, you know, getting out and ahead of things, working with all the stakeholders early on, and really reaching out to all of Goleta and kind of looking at all the different areas to have meetings, and having a robust workshops and outreach it really will be critical to the success, and I think that's what we all want. We definitely want this to be successful. So thank you.
Any other comments? I have a comment, if I might. La Patera on the east side of Los Carneros, that's really hazardous along there. I used to ride my bike along there, but there's no space, you know. It's just two cars pretty much. And anyway, I don't know if that counts for anything, and it's probably an inappropriate time to say it, but I think about it every time I drive by. So I guess that's all right. And we seem to have exhausted the council's questions on it. You guys have done a terrific job.
I would just like to point out, we were talking earlier about the possibility of getting Mr. George to invite us out there to Encina. We definitely want to bring this to groups that it may be difficult for them to get where we're holding a workshop. And if there's a group with a special interest that they would like for us to come and speak to them directly, we're more than happy to do that. Just let us know. And if necessary, we'll just return to council with an amendment to the consultant's budget if we have to get more meetings out there, because I agree it's very important. And the idea of bicycles and pedestrians, maybe it means not everyone can get across town. It's a long way to walk or bike, and so we want to make it easy for everyone to give input. So we do hear you, and we do appreciate that.
If you looked in your crystal ball, you've had a lot of success with finding grants out there. This is the type of thing that people like to fund, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When all of these things, as you add them up, I mean, you have, when you go to fill out a grant application, they want to know, is this project in a bicycle pedestrian master plan? How old is your plan? Is it in a regional plan? All the more places you can have this documented, the more points. And when you have approved documents, that means that your count, whether it's the council or board of supervisors, I mean, your governing body is behind this, and they know that if you get the grant, you're going to move forward with it and it's going to be successful. So yeah, what will come out of here is a really good list of projects for grants and a better point value on those applications.
All right, very good. Oh, a comment from Councilmember Perotti.
I just thought of one thing, that since they are having bike or walk to school day on Wednesday, might we reach out? I'm personally and going to Brandon. Might we have some copies of surveys or the card and be able to hand it out to the parents at that particular?
Yeah, we can probably arrange that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Ms. Gagliani. Mr. Winslow, you did a very nice job. So that's our presentation. Now we're moving to a public hearing. And I think our city clerk is about to inform us of what we're going to be doing here.
That would be item D1, proposed ordinance adopting the 2016 California Standards Code by reference.
All right, and briefing us here today, informing us as to what the plan is Jennifer Carmen, our Planning and Environmental Review Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also have with me Jim Guerra, our building official. I'm here to answer any specific questions that you may have. Can you hear me?
No? Mm-hmm. I think it's working.
Hear you loud and clear.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just lean forward and eat the mic a little bit. Generally, every 3 years, the California Building Standards Commission reviews and revises building standards codes that consist of the following 12 parts that are listed in your staff report. I won't go through the whole list. The 2016 California Building Standard Codes become effective in California municipalities on January 1st of next year. After the state adopts the code, municipalities are then mandated to adopt. If codes are not adopted locally, then municipalities are required to follow the state codes only. By adopting the state standards, the city is allowed to add local modifications to the codes to reflect local geographic, topographic, and climatic conditions. That resolution to do that tonight is with you as attachment one. Local amendments included with this ordinance are mostly administrative in nature. There are no new amendments that are proposed with this ordinance update, but rather the limited number of existing amendments and modifications have been renumbered to match the correct placement in the 2016 building code. The ordinance in attachment 2 only includes 11 code chapters due to Santa Barbara County having responsibility for adoption and local amendments to the fire code. At this time, Santa Barbara County has not yet taken action on the 2016 codes. But we do expect them to, and we'll be tracking what they do as it moves forward. So what's new with the 2016 codes? The changes to the code are predominantly organizational, with a general tightening of regulations to improve energy efficiency of newly constructed buildings, additions, and alterations to existing buildings. The most significant efficiency improvements address attics, walls, water heating, and lighting. water-conserving emergency building standards relating to plumbing were adopted last year, and these are also incorporated into the 2016 code. The Building Standards Commission has also created a CalGreen identifier, which sits within the building code. It kind of flags different sections that relate back to CalGreen for easy interpretation by users. I know there were some questions about what's new and what's different. This isn't as significant as an amendment as 2013 was, but it does make it easier to use and more beneficial as it moves forward. And that's my presentation.
All right. Are there any questions from the council on that? No. Now, it looks as if we're to adopt this resolution. Is that correct?
Yes, you have two actions before you, adopting the resolution, but also introducing and conducting the first reading of an ordinance. So,
all right.
Two parts.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo, if you would.
Wow, you picked the longest one for me here. Okay, I'm assuming we're ready. So I move we adopt resolution number 16, next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta approving findings to support local modifications to the standards contained in the 2013 California Building Standards Code, and introduce and conduct first reading by title only and waive further reading of ordinance number 16, next in order, entitled an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, amending Title 15, Buildings and Construction of the Goleta Municipal Code, adopting by reference the California State Building Codes and other related codes, adopting local revisions to those codes, adding Chapter 15.15 entitled Energy Code, Chapter 15.16 entitled Historical Building Code, Chapter 15.17 entitled Existing Building Code, and Chapter 15.18 entitled Reference Standards Code, and repealing Ordinance Number 13-05. Now I need some water.
I have a question.
What is the protocol on it? You take it now before we get a second on it?
Well, I just have a concern that in looking at this, I thought that we were getting an updated change because of a date issue. Maybe I misunderstood.
Isn't that what this is?
Well, yeah, but it still says contained in the 2013 building codes, and that's supposed to say 2016, I thought.
Yes, you're correct. The change did not get carried forward onto
the change document.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to amend my motion to reflect that. You're not going to make me read this again, are you?
I will second that.
All right. All of those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you. Okay. Now we have something else interesting coming up here. Madam Clerk, you want to hit the highlights?
Item E1, Vision Zero presentation.
Okay, Ms. Gaglione is rumored to be coming back for this.
Can we just take a quick break?
Yeah.
Why don't we take, it's 6:55, we'll come back at 7:05.
I'm watching the sea with the one I love be coming back to me. And I'm covered Will the one I love be coming back to me? Here am I, patiently waiting, hoping and longing. Oh, how I yearn. Where are you? Have you forgotten? Will you remember? Will you return? I cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea. Will the one I love be coming back to me?
Just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to
beautiful, worry. What's your
father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better
beautiful,
hurry.
Please don't
well,
hurry.
Maybe just a half a drink.
Put
more.
Some records on while I
the
pour.
Neighbors might
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in the
no
street?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no.
Mind
no,
if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out. Baby, it's cold outside.
I simply must go.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The answer is no.
But baby, it's cold outside.
The welcome has
how
been
lucky that you
so
dropped in.
Nice and warm.
Look out the window at the storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look
my
delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon the tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Never more. Such a blizzard before.
I've gotta get
but
home.
Baby, you'd freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I
dragged.
Thrill when you touch my
but
hand.
Don't you see?
How can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk to
think of my lifelong
at
sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Get over that old doubt. Baby, it's cold. Baby, it's session cold here. Outside.
All right, now we're moving on to a subject that will inform us all, I'm sure. Madam Clerk, if you would.
Item E1, Vision Zero presentation.
Okay, once again, we've got Rosemary Gaglione explaining to us what this is all about.
Thank you very much, Mayor Farr, members of the council and the public. Can we get it? We're going to get the presentation up on the screen here. Vision Zero. What is Vision Zero? Well, it's an international traffic safety movement. It began in Sweden in 1997, currently being adopted by cities worldwide, in cities large and small, including Los Angeles and San Francisco. So the core principles of Vision Zero are that traffic deaths and serious injuries are preventable and therefore unacceptable, that human error is inevitable and unpredictable, that we should be using engineering, education, enforcement, and then evaluation because they're essential to a safe system. And large cities also include equity as the fifth E. So that would be making sure that when you have a city the size of Los Angeles, you can have wealthy areas and you can have more impoverished areas. And it's just making sure that everyone gets paid attention to in that. It also states that human life takes priority over other objectives of the road system, and speed is a fundamental predictor of crash survival, and that government policies at all levels should be coordinated to promote safety as the highest priority. So engineering. So the idea with Vision Zero is rather than using standard designs, cookie cutter designs, engineers should consider what's going on in an area. Do you have schools and are school children going to be around? Do you have other traffic conditions? Is there a lot of congestion? What about the natural environment? Maybe where the sun, if you're on an east-west mm-hmm. route, and are there senior facilities nearby? Are there hospitals? You could have ambulances. And in Vision Zero thinking, you'd also be thinking about concerned people leaving the hospital and maybe not paying as much attention as they should. In fact, I will say that the discussions that we had about Hollister Class 1 and the two-laning and what that might mean for a driver sitting waiting to turn left and if a kid was crossing at the same time, we were talking about driver behavior and thought processes and maybe frustration, and those are all the sorts of things you would consider if you're looking at things from a Vision Zero perspective. Also, who's driving? Is seniors, new drivers, is commercial drivers, and what behaviors are anticipated? And then who's walking? Is it seniors, sight-challenged individuals, school children? Who's doing the biking? Are they commuters, school children, teenagers? And what's the skill level? And how many? What's the volume? We also throw into the mix you have skateboarders and skaters and new cars and, you know, they're just starting to, they're coming up with all these great things you can do in your car, but you shouldn't do all of them while you're driving. Right. So they're starting to have lockouts for certain functions unless you're parked. So in education, you know, educating drivers, doing public outreach regarding distracted driving, that's a very big problem. And also public outreach about sharing the road. For those drivers who still think the road is for cars and everyone else needs to move aside, they need to be educated. That's not the world today. Pedestrians, we need parents emphasizing traffic safety and alertness to children, schools teaching traffic safety, and organizations such as COAST teaching pedestrian safety. Bicyclists, we need to have that public outreach regarding distracted driving and looking out for yourself, and even distracted cycling. Public outreach regarding sharing the road, and schools and organizations like COAST and the Santa Barbara Bike Coalition providing bicycle safety training. And public outreach to others, the skateboarders and the skaters and the trike riders and the hoverboards. I mean, we have to consider everyone and their impact on the system. Then enforcement. You can have targeted enforcement, DUI checkpoints, crosswalk stings, and police officers assisting with educating children. Many times having a police officer spend that time and energy talking to a kid makes a big impact, and they tend to remember that. Some of my most memorable things in school were when the cops showed up with the cars and they gave us the talk. So that's has a real impact. Then evaluation. So when a collision does occur, reviewing collision reports to determine, you know, where are collisions occurring? Is there a cluster of collisions? Is it driver behavior, pedestrian or cyclist behavior? Is there something that can be done to make the roadway safer? Is there a need for more education, or is there just a need for targeted police enforcement? So there's two movements right now. There's Vision Zero and Towards Zero Deaths. And Towards Zero Deaths is really the U.S. government. There's a federal push to look at why we have an increase in traffic fatalities now. So from 1957 to 73, you averaged 40 to 50,000 people killed in traffic collisions each year. From 73 to 2015, there'd been a steady decrease, and we got down to about 30,000 fatalities a year. And then in 2015, there was a spike to a seven-year high of 35,000. So this is despite advances in automobile safety. This is despite traffic calming becoming more widespread and despite laws that are supposed to protect bicyclists and pedestrians. So possible causes. One, as speed increases, the likelihood of a fatality increases. And this just shows, you know, at 20 miles an hour, you might have a 10% chance of dying, and that increases fourfold if you're hit by a car at 30 miles an hour. And really, you have only a 20% chance of survival if a car hits you at 40 miles an hour. Yeah. Other possible causes, we have distracted drivers. We have cell phones, interactive devices in new cars. I mean, and the other thing is, I've noticed, I have a newer truck, you don't have buttons anymore. You have this touch screen, but you have to look at the screen. It used to be you could kind of feel the buttons, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have that now, so you end up having to take your eyes off of the road. Games like Pokemon. We see things on the news and people are driving and chasing this little character. And the San Francisco Vision Zero initiative even advertises don't play and drive. It's probably as bad or worse than drinking and driving. Distracted bicyclists and pedestrians, they're also on their cell phones. And then you have games like Pokemon. And your ultra-compact vehicles versus trucks. Because even with all the increased safety features, momentum still rules. We have increased bicycling. So more cyclists mean more potential for conflicts with other vehicles. New commuters may have lower skill and fitness levels, and more cyclists on the roads that perhaps were not designed for cyclists. We have increased walking. You know, we're trying to get folks walking, but more pedestrians, once again, mean more potential for conflicts. And pedestrians, they legally have the right-of-way, but shouldn't assume that's going to be turned over to them. So they need to. That may be part of the problem. So Vision Zero plan. What is this Vision Zero plan? Well, it includes an explanation about Vision Zero and how would this be beneficial to a community. Discusses collision rates and factors, lays out goals, for example, zero deaths by 2025, identifies high-injury networks, probably more something that's more critical in larger cities, ensures equity for all users and socioeconomic groups, and describes ongoing and planned initiatives. And these can include projects such as crosswalk improvements and plans and programs such as Complete Streets. I actually have given you a copy of San Francisco's and Los Angeles's Vision Zero plans. And even though these are big cities, the plans are, I think, 24 and 35 pages. You know, so they're not particularly hefty documents. So next steps, if council so directs, our next steps would be to engage a consultant to prepare a Vision Zero plan outline for the city of Goleta. We would have to then bring you cost estimates and a summary of additional actions that would need to be taken. It may be there's a lot of talk in the future, just as we need to show that we have projects in an approved bicycle master plan to get grant funding. There's a push to want cities to have a Vision Zero plan to get grant funding, and that could improve point values in the future. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm happy to take questions.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ms. Gaglione. Councilmember Bennett.
Maybe it's not so obvious, but for me it would seem, given the previous presentation, this dovetails very nicely with that. And where it's suggesting that we engage a consultant, it implies to me that someone separate from one who we're engaging to assist us in the master plan for PEDs and bikes and alternative methods of whatever it may be, it would just seem like this would be integrated with that and it would be a natural process. Or am I missing something?
No, Councilmember Bennett, you're not missing something. Really, what this does is it takes everything else that we're doing and puts it in one place. It shows a commitment. If the city commits to a Vision Zero plan, we're saying, we're going to do everything we can to reduce the chance of someone getting killed on the road. And I think the significance of this is that the standard has been, well, how many collisions per million vehicle miles do you have on this road segment? Well, you only have that many. Well, then you're okay. You know, you're not above what's acceptable. And what this program is just saying is that because there are things that can be done, that zero is what's acceptable. I mean, not that anyone can get there, but you want to try as best you can. So you would be putting all of our other initiatives, things we're already doing, and putting them into the Vision Zero plan. So, yes.
Well, it would seem to me that, like, for example, we just recently had a death on Cairo, and that was because of a distracted driver, mm-hmm. and that's already been documented. And, you know, it would seem in those instances, especially given the speed that's along there, which most people aren't aware of, but we are hands are tied by the state of California, what our speed can be. So I wish it was a simple matter, but it's not. In any case, you know, it would seem that what might be logical would be to set up K-rails so that you separate the bicyclists and essentially give them a class one from the automobiles that are traveling at 45 plus miles an hour and provide them a chance to be able to make it. I don't know if the road width lends itself to that. I don't know if that's even a possibility, but it would seem to me, from my perspective, those are the kinds of things that could be enacted to get to that zero point. And in this particular instance, if that particular safety had been in place, even though we meet all the standards and all that, it could have made a difference at the end of the day. It could have been something that would have been very worthwhile. So I would be very much in favor of Vision Zero, and I haven't had the chance to read what, you know, LA or San Francisco's done, but I think it's an incredibly worthwhile process that should be explored, and we should be a part of it. But that's just my opinion.
Councilmember Perotti.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I heard about Vision Zero a couple years ago, I believe it was, when Coast came to discuss it with me, and we went and asked me if I would go with them to a couple of the schools, like the superintendent, Bill Cerrone, and see what he thought about Vision Zero. At that time, I think the city of Santa Barbara was working on Vision Zero, and they were trying to gain all the support they could get, and he was just, you know, of course, absolutely, you know, put my name on everything. He signed a letter right then and there. But, you know, it's great to have the schools on board, but it really is up to the individual cities and county to be working on this. And the way I look at it is we will identify areas and then learn from others, I would hope. Is this not true? Their best yes. practices, and that's mm-hmm. something that we can take back and learn from them so we're not reinventing the wheel. And I'm hoping that, you know, I think staff can come back to us with a cost. Some things might cost more and some things might be less expensive, but at that point we can make some decisions. But it's really just looking at what we can do to make it safe for everyone. Yes. So I'm very much in support of this. I liked the idea when it came to me a while ago, and I think it's I believe the city of Santa Barbara did adopt it. It goes hand in hand with the bicycle master plan and pedestrian master plan. So I think this is something very worthwhile. So thank you for your presentation.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Thank you, Mayor Farr. So I have to say that the spike in 15 is really troubling. I mean, we enacted state laws about cell phone usage and things, and that happened afterwards, and that's a little scary. I don't know if people getting, feel like they're obeying the law so they can chat away and not be careful. I got to believe it has something to do with cell phones. I mean, I know there's no data that points to it, but and I guess there's more cars on the road and things like that. But do we have any numbers for 16 yet?
No, I haven't seen any numbers for 16 yet, and I believe one of the new laws coming into effect in January mm-hmm. is, you know, you couldn't talk on your cell phone, but it's legal to look at maps and things. So what they're moving toward is get your hands off the phone, because if you mm-hmm. pick up the phone and you touch a button, mm-hmm. then you could get a ticket. Mm-hmm. So there was that loophole. And I think people still feel like, well, it's just a minute. And in some ways, there are some people who say it's worse, because people who maybe used to do this, now they can't, so they're hiding it, you know, and they still won't stop. They're addicted, right. But their eyes are off the road even longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least, you know, you mentioned I think our trucks are a similar model. Mm-hmm. We have the newer kind of trucks, and at least some of that technology helps. I know I can sync my phone to my truck, and so now my truck is talking to me about as far as directions go yes. and things like that. And I had the same thing. It blocks me from... My son once tried to sync a phone while we were driving, mm-hmm. and you know, I said, "No, you can't do that right now." Which, you know, at the time I thought, "Well, that's you got to trust me a little bit for to have common sense." But if it keeps people safe, that's okay. I don't mind that. So I have to say I'm just in favor of this as well. I'd at least going farther, moving forward with the plan, finding out the cost, finding out the details. I'm assuming there'll be some workshops involved and things like, I don't know, maybe not, but I guess that depends on our consultant, right?
Yes, I've never put one of these together before,
right.
And I think there's also a place to start, and then you continually refine. That's what mm-hmm. that evaluation is about, and this would be a living document mm-hmm. because you would refine as you go.
Good, and I was thinking the same thing that Councilman Bennett was thinking. It's obviously by the fact that the crowd stayed from our earlier presentation, they feel the same way, that this ties into our master plan as well, so the timing couldn't be better to explore this, too. So I'd like to see us move forward with it as well.
Council Member of Service.
Thank you. Let me start off with asking this. Because going through this in your PowerPoint, and I haven't read San Francisco or Los Angeles yet, but I'll read those. From your presentation, it seems like there's a lot of stuff we're already doing. Mm-hmm. So, analyzing the collisions as to why they occurred. I mean, we've been doing that forever. When I was a traffic cop, we had, and I can't remember the name of the program, but you inputted all the information in there, why it occurred, where it occurred, and you built your statistics. And then that led to targeted police enforcement, especially if it was speed or collisions or whatever. So I know we've been doing that for years. The one on where you had a bunch of people walking and looking at, basically what you're talking about is a stopping distance. And we set that when we start talking about where we place our signage, how we handle assigning our speed limits for the streets. So what you're talking about there is stopping distance. But can you tell me specifically what in this plan, if there's one thing, other than coordination, that would come out of this plan that we don't already do?
The only thing I would say, and really this does, this city has been very engaged all yes. along when something happens. And we look and try to figure out, you know, what could we change to make things better in the future. So unlike a Los Angeles who unfortunately has 200 pedestrians a year being killed on the road, it's a rare occurrence here. I think overall what this does is this makes an official statement that this is our goal, and that as we design projects that everyone we hire as consultants, we're designing to these standards, that we're going to think about anything that could be in the least bit confusing to a driver that might cause them to make a mistake. But no, I don't think there's anything except that the analysis of accidents could be more robust and maybe on a regular basis to see if we can even get out ahead of something sooner. But there's nothing brand new in here that the city doesn't already try to do to keep its the people who drive and bike and walk its streets safe.
Okay. I guess for me, I would like to have another presentation that's very robust and basically answer, what does this mean for Goleta? We're not taking a cookie cutter and we're placing it over Goleta. We can talk specifically about Goleta, especially as we're completing our zoning plan. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, where does it fit in our planning structure, in that you have about, what, 40, 45 active CIP projects now?
Yes.
Okay, where does this fit in there? And then where does it fit in our budget? And not knowing exactly how this is going to be tailored for Goleta, mm-hmm. it's a little difficult for me at this point to, say, hire a consultant, because I don't know what we're asking them to do.
Correct.
So I think that's why, you know, I'm all in favor of making this, you know, I don't care what you name it, but making the community safer. But there's got to be an overall work plan that makes sense, that brings in all the disciplines. So I think a more robust presentation to the public and to us as we move forward. And I don't know when we're going to do that, given the fact that you have, like I said, 45 active CIP projects now, and you don't have that big a staff to undertake such a big process. unless we make a decision to put a full stop to stuff. And I don't know if we're going to, you know, we're going to listen to do that, especially since a lot of it is grant funded. So where does that fit in your work plan?
Well, for me, what I was seeing with this is you have a consultant work on developing the overall plan and move our projects and activities and set it up inside of the Vision Zero plan. I'm happy with doing this. I mean, if we do this in 3 months or 6 months, I think that we're still, as you said, we're still doing a lot of these things as it is. I think we can find out exactly what it, that's what I want to find out. I want to get council's okay to go find out what this is going to take and the time and how much a consultant can just do for us versus how much staff time would be involved. Overall, for the city of Goleta, I think the more cities that adopt a Vision Zero plan, as Councilmember Bennett just said, we can't reduce the speed limits on our streets where we want to for bike and ped safety because state law has our hands tied. Maybe as Vision Zero becomes more prevalent, we can get the state to change that law. It's a law that has taken control away from local agencies. And you look at how the chance for fatality goes up with speed. So, and COAST has come to us to ask us to consider adopting a Vision Zero plan. So I'm just bringing this to council to determine if you want to move forward and is this a time you'd like to do that.
Okay. Knowing what's on your plate right now, I think 3 months is a bit ambitious, especially as we move through the holidays. I think we need to have a full scope. But in the meantime, extrapolate from the plan and that which we are already doing, like the collision evaluations, and expand on that. Mm-hmm. And have our police department expand on that and start working on some of the elements that doesn't cost us, doesn't require us to make a legislative change here. We already have the process in place to get it done. Just expanding it. So find other areas there that we can work on, such as communication with the schools, such as communication with the public and on enforcement. So I think there's stuff we can do. But before a consultant comes in, or you consider a consultant, again, I would like to know what the full scope of what we're asking to do and how it fits with our particular small city.
Okay.
All right, we have some people who would wish to comment on Vision Zero. If we, I think I have a half a dozen here, so let's try Eve Sanford, Steve George, and Judy Shore.
Okay, wow. Really tall speakers. Good evening, City Council. I'm here speaking on a second item, Vision Zero, as it is presented before you, an effort to improve traffic safety. I think that when we talk about traffic safety, it's sometimes vague, and I'd like to take a moment to focus on Roman Paredes, who was killed riding his bicycle on Goleta City streets about 3 weeks ago. On Calle Real. This collision is unsettling and upsetting for a number of reasons. First and foremost, it was completely unnecessary. People have a right to travel safely in active and healthy ways on our streets. It was upsetting because he was 88 years old at the time and a senior in our community. And I think as a senior, he deserves to be cared for and to be able to travel safely and to have personal mobility beyond just a car, but on foot or on a bike. And then third point, he was making a living with his bicycle, collecting cans to support his family. And so for him, the bicycle was a tool to financial independence. And in a time where housing and food costs are not decreasing at any point, it's upsetting to think that the bicycle was a tool for him to make a living, to support his family, and that he wasn't able to to safely do that in the city. So one thing that we can do to honor his memory
is to look at improving traffic safety and to prevent these type of collisions in the future. And we owe it not only to him and his family, but to other bicyclists who are riding their bikes for mobility, for health, for financial independence, and for any other reason. We owe it to them to improve traffic safety for them riding their bikes on our streets. At a bird's eye view, Vision Zero aims to recommit to the sanctity of human life, that human life is precious and that everyone has a right to travel safely on our streets. That includes people on bikes, on foot, and in their cars. In more concrete ways, it would give the city more flexibility around doing better education, smarter enforcement along high collision areas, and better infrastructure that meets the real needs of people cycling. I agree on that particular corridor, really high speeds. You have to wonder if there's a design out there, and there certainly is. It's not a question of if there is, but adopting the policies that will get those designs in place to make our streets safer. These concepts are not, none of these concepts are new, but Vision Zero gives you more flexibility to move forward with implementing them in the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Farr and the City Council. I'll make it brief. I hugely support Vision Zero. I think that it's really important that it not be lip service, that it not just be a shell. And I think that that's going to come back to the public to buy into it. And you hear about towns in the East Coast that all get behind stopping smoking, or they all get behind a diet and exercise, or a whole variety of different things where you get this community spirit moving. And to me, that's really going to be the only successful way this is going to work, is if the city buys into it. And so we can put umbrellas over everything we want, but the bottom line is we're going to have to get everybody behind it. People are going to have to realize that they can't sit there texting on while they're sitting there and cars are backing up behind them at the intersection and things like that. So to me, that's critical. I think that we need to move forward as quickly as we can. I recognize the constraints there are, but if you have everybody move into a thought process where they're thinking about it and everything they're doing, they're bouncing it off of how does this fit into the program, then you start the momentum for it. And I just applaud that we're looking at it. I think that it would be huge if Goleta could lead the way, little Goleta, and be one of the first small cities to take this on. And we have a much better chance of getting public buy-in if, because we're small. I would hate to have to try to get LA to buy in on it, but I think we can get Goleta to do it. So I support it 100%.
Judy Shore.
You just said my name, so you all know my name. Good evening, City Council members and Mayor. Thank you for having me say my two cents. I wear a few hats. I'm a co-chair of the Newtown Goleta Safety Organization. Maybe you've heard of this before. I'm also a representative with the Center for Successful Aging, and we certainly have a presence in Goleta, and I'm also a community healthcare professional. And after performing my due diligence, I would like to add my support to any program that primarily focuses on A, speed management, and B, street design, which is sort of it seems to be the premise of the Vision Zero program. Vision Zero is committed to increasing safe, healthy, and equitable mobility from everything I've learned for all, which is, of course, a win-win for our mobile seniors, and it perfectly dovetails with our Newtown Goleta Safety four-and-plus-year running outreach work for safety improvement along Cali Real and Fairview. And it seems I have a minute left, so two particular statistics really resonated with me. The number of people, I think, Rosemary, you quoted over 35,000 people dying this past year on America's streets and traffic collisions is like having 100 jumbo jets falling out of the sky. Where is the outrage? You know. and that also under its Vision Zero policy, Sweden, which is, as you mentioned, where the program originated, has now been able to cut their traffic deaths in half. So that might be a testament to the program. Thank you.
Patricia Biani, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, if you would, Patricia, followed by Cameron Gray.
All right. Good evening, City Council and Mayor Farr. I am here to support both of the projects we mentioned. I'm from Encino Real, but I have worked in the community. I worked at Santa Barbara Research Center for 28 years. I have kids who went to school here, but, you know, with a lot of the growth going on, I think the different neighborhoods are feeling a little left out. And I think Vision Zero and all the plans about safety, pedestrian, and bicycling, it really will resonate. And I wanted to tell Rose Marie that she has come and talked to us before, and we talked about our concern that if you don't want to have accidents, you have to, there's a light by Walgreens, and it used to let only three cars go through before it turned red. And so cars were anxious to get through, so they would often, the fourth one would go through a red light and cut off pedestrians. When we told it to her, she increased the time of the lighting there. And I was telling her, I know she's done several things to help avoid future accidents, and she doesn't, I don't think you advertise enough that these things have been done. You know, we are moving toward it. These projects are being completed. It would be a good thing for you to advertise so that the community knows you're really engaged in protecting them and zero accidents. I also want to tell you a funny joke. You know that Fairview light? When you work at Bed Bath & Beyond, when they first opened, they had a joke that they said we'd never be robbed there at Bed Bath & Beyond. I had friends who worked there. They said because the thieves would get caught at the Fairview light. Well, that Fairview light, which is Caltrans, has caused everybody to shortcut through Encina Road, which is where the senior community is. So anyway, examine those areas, and I'm supportive of zero vision. Thank you.
Okay, Michael Lisa, followed by Cameron Gray.
Thank you once again for having me up here, Council. I'd just like to say, of course I'm in favor of Vision Zero. I mean, it's, how can you not be? How can you not want to be more safe? I'm glad it's brought up now. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we had a tragic death happen on Cadreal, and I saw this gentleman quite a bit when I used to commute on my bike, what I would say about Vision Zero is it only works if it's not a plaque on the wall. We really need to see action. So what's the one thing you can do to make cyclists safe? Is make more people ride a bike. That's one of the best things you can do. I mean, I think if you go out to UCSB, you see a lot of people on bikes. You don't see many accidents. You see a ton of people on bikes. You'd say, wow, they must be having a lot of accidents there. People expect bikes. Bikes kind of rule the streets there. And I think it attests to the fact that if you want to make things safe for cyclists, have more cyclists. The best way to do that initially is to have class one bike lanes, which I hope this bicycle master plan really attacks head on. I think the other important thing is we have to put our money where our mouth is. A lot of the funding that goes into redirecting traffic is to improve traffic flow solely. And I believe this is just written into GTAP. You can't access funds unless you improve traffic flow. I think if Vision Zero can somehow address that to where we actually see funds being directed in order to improve safety solely, I think then we have something. I think, you know, along with that is the setting of targets. If we can set targets to where we say we're going to make it so that we have a 10% increase in bicycle use per year, something like that. I think then it can be a successful Vision Zero project. Thank you for your time.
Cameron, please.
Good evening, Mayor Farr and City Council. Once again, my name is Cameron Gray, representing Community Environmental Council. Our nonprofit is a Vision Zero supporter because we know that people will not walk or bike if they do not feel safe on the roads as they're traveling. It bears repeating that the design of communities which allow people to walk and bike is about more than sustainability. It's also about the quality of life and the livability of a community. We very much want to see Vision Zero adopted by the City of Goleta. We think it would demonstrate exceptional leadership. And, you know, it's incredibly important to have an integrative document, we believe, at this time, especially given the recent uptick in traffic fatalities that we've seen across the nation. This document would be integrative. It would bring together, as was mentioned by staff, education, enforcement, and the engineering pieces in a way that would really allow the city to look at road design with a filter on safety that just isn't there right now, we believe. So once again, we just want to express our support for Vision Zero, and thank you very much for your consideration here tonight.
Thank you. Eva and Barr, please. Eva will be our last speaker.
Good evening once again. I'm Eva in Barwis Coast, and I want to thank your staff and you, the City Council and Mayor, for looking at Vision Zero. We believe it's timely, and Goleta is a perfect place to get started with it. You have a tradition here of being in the forefront of traffic safety. You have the 15 mile per hour speed limit in the school zones. That's in the forefront. You have a very good and effective traffic enforcement unit. That's also very important for Vision Zero. And you have a very supportive citizenry. They really want to see this going in. It's true, there are a lot of things you already are doing. So Vision Zero would bring that together under that unifying vision. What would be new and what distinguishes Vision Zero is the fact that it sets goal for injury and fatality reduction. So eventually the vision is none at all, but there needs to be steps to get us there. So in between, there have to be steps. So we have a goal of reducing them by 25% and then by 50%. So we would look at all the injuries and fatalities in that light. What could we do to reduce their number? What could we have done to prevent this particular thing from happening? Sometimes you have to throw up your hands and say, only God could have helped us here. But there are always those that could have been prevented, and those we're trying to identify and do something about. Santa Barbara is actually doing the same thing right now. They are in process. They have not adopted Vision Zero yet. They wanted to wait until the bicycle master plan would be finished. They have it on the agenda for the 18th of this month. So you may actually go first. And I think this is great. You could, you know, you could set a model for how Vision Zero would benefit a smaller city. It's been so far in the larger cities, and you can definitely learn from them, but it has to be adapted to your situation, right? And so it has to fit a smaller city the size of Goleta. And there, I think you could play a key role in being a model for others, and I do believe that others will follow. So its timing is great with the bike and pedestrian master plan, of course. It fits right in, and I would urge you to not wait, but go ahead and do it now and get started now. Staff will need that time to prepare and come back with the information that you need and want, but get going with it. Thank you.
Can you guarantee us media coverage that we were before Santa Barbara? Actually, I mislaid somehow Cecilia Brown's slip, if you would, Ms. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. First of all, I'd like to do a couple of acknowledgments. I want to thank Ms. Inbar for bringing this before the council. I know that this has long been on her agenda, and as much of her advocacy work has been, I think we need to recognize her for that. And also, I want to thank Ms. Gagliona, Madam Public Works Director, as I call her, for helping with an issue at my corner, Berkeley and Kellogg, where I live. It's a very busy intersection. A bicyclist was killed at that intersection many years ago, and she helped with the stop sign issue, which has helped reduce some drivers who just blow through that intersection, where there are a lot of walkers, a lot of kids going to school, walking to school at Kellogg. But what I want to say is that I'd like to just say that I hope you not only walk, but you run to embrace what is being presented before you. And the reason I say that, I am a walker. I walk a lot at the city. I try to walk 6 miles a day. And I walk a lot along Calle Real. It is bloody dangerous over there. I am in crosswalks, and drivers blow right past me when I'm in the crosswalk. It is very scary. I stand at corners, and I make sure I get eye contact with drivers who want to turn right, because sometimes they don't see you as a pedestrian. I always try to go where there's a light. And of course, at Calle Real and Fairview, if you had an X crosswalk, you'd get by faster rather than the 5 minutes you have to wait or you have to time, whatever. But anyway, my purpose of being here is telling you, for those of us who do on the streets, whether we're on our bicycles or walking, that it is a dangerous place, and we have to be very, very careful. And it's really important that the city partner with us in making sure that our pathways are safer in many ways. So I applaud your willing to adopt this and move forward with it, and to thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And again, thank you all for your participation in this. It's vital to the programs of the city. Any other comments from council members? Yeah, Council Member Perotti.
Well, I too want to thank everybody for coming out and speaking. I listened to each one of you, and I really liked the idea that this will set goals. That's an important priority. But also, thank you, Mr. George, for saying that it really will send a clear message to our residents that we are serious and that we really want to take a look at this. I understand that there's a lot of projects on Mr. Caglione's plate, but I feel that this is the right time. We should move. I support moving forward quickly with this. I have a consultant come back and tell us what we need to do and what we need, areas we need to look at. But first, have staff come back with a cost estimate. You know, how much this is going to cost as far as having a consultant. I think that's what I'm looking at. And I realize, I'm going to say this, I realize that some things will cost money. But what is a life worth? So I think this is time that we need to do this. Thank you.
Council Member Bennett.
Yeah, I too support going forward as soon as possible. I think that my issue is I don't see it standing alone from your previous presentation. So I would like to see it as an integrated process to dovetail, approach it maybe a little different to someone or the organization to the east of us, as opposed to waiting. I think that the process goes hand in hand. And sure. I think the consultant that you're speaking to in regards to the bike and ped master plan, I would think they'd be well equipped to be able to go forward with something like this, and, you know, expand the scope or whatever it takes. Certainly recognizing we're talking about more dollars, it's always more dollars. But I think that it's critically important that we integrate what we're doing. I'd hate to see us get into the master plan, finish it, adopt it, then go forward with this, and then find out, gosh, if we had done this over here, this might have been different. So I just think that they complement each other, and I'd prefer that everything goes forward at once. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that, I agree. I think we need to go forward. I think we won't know what we're not doing right until we have the study. And you know, I know we're doing a lot of these things already, and we certainly want a safer city, but I would like to think we're going to learn a couple things we can do differently and hopefully improve the safety of our residents. I think we're pretty safe already, but can always improve there. I think especially the education component. We've talked a lot about educating drivers, but you know, we have to educate our pedestrians and our bikers too. I know there's a lot of responsible bikers and pedestrians out there, but I think about those teenagers, and I've commented up here before, they believe they're immortal and they believe that they have the right of way no matter what the real situation is. And so figuring out how to educate them to be safer is important. So I do want to see us go forward and see what we're not doing so we can fix it. So,
did you want a final word, Councilmember Reseves?
I just want to reemphasize what I said earlier just briefly, and that is there are a lot of things here that we can do now, and the biggest thing is education. And I don't want to wait for a consultant to come back and tell me how we do that. We should be doing it now.
Yeah. Okay. I am also adding my vote to moving forward on this as quickly as possible. Of course, Councilmember Aceves' comment is accurate as well. You know, let's look at what we're doing, where we should be doing more, how we integrate these programs. I mean, you'll know what to do. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, Councilmember Perotti.
Thank you. One quick question for actually Councilmember Bennett. Are you suggesting that the same consultant that we hired for the bicycle pedestrian master plan then work on Vision Zero?
That's what I was recommending, based on the fact that I would believe that they would have the tools to do this. If it's a totally separate consultant, that would be disappointing, but because anytime you hire a separate consultant, you're going to pay more money.
Well, what we can do, Councilmember Bennett, is we can engage them, and we can get ask them for a proposal to see if they actually have that expertise on staff, or if someone else working with them would be better. But we would look to them first for the continuity, and then see if they would still be the best choice to do that.
I'm happy with that.
All right, thank you.
All right. Would our city manager say that we move this where we need to?
Yes, I think we have ample direction, so thank you.
Okay. Certainly my pleasure. And again, it's my pleasure to discuss issues like this with the rest of the council, because there's never any rubber stamping. There's a lot of experience here, and it comes to bear when analyzing something like this. So. And that's going to pretty much end the regular format for the evening. And as we have said before, it won't hurt our feelings if you leave before council comments. But thank you for coming. Well, who wants to start? We've got Mr. Bennett. He's already creating a long list.
I'm plowing through my calendar so I don't miss anything, Mr. Mayor. You know, we don't want that to happen. Let's see. Well, actually, probably the biggest thing that occurred during the interim period is both Saturday and Sunday on the 24th and 25th of September with the Lemon Festival. And as is the tradition each year is those of us that are elected get to participate in the pie eating contest by not eating the pie, but okay. By selecting the winner of the eater of the pie. And myself and others, I'll let them speak for themselves, did participate again, and we were able to adequately select the winners this year as we have in the past. So that's always fun. That's kind of a hoot. And I admit that I did buy a pie and took it home and ate it and enjoyed every moment of it. It was great. It was absolutely great. So I also was invited to attend Santa Barbara Beautiful's annual meeting at Hahn Hall. And well attended, and I've never been to their meetings before, but I was totally impressed. Very nice evening, and all of the awards that were given in regards to the individuals and facilities that have done such nice things in the city of Santa Barbara. So that was pretty awe-inspiring, I might add. And we had a library ad hoc committee meeting on Monday the 26th, and more information will be coming forth for the council as a whole as we put the issues that are before us together so that you can weigh in on where you want to go. And let's see. I attended the direct relief groundbreaking that occurred on Thursday the 29th. And it is certainly one of the most unique groundbreakings I've ever been at, where two rather large giant backhoes came out. And they dug the earth as opposed to a bunch of us sitting there and throwing some dirt in the air. Well, they moved a whole lot of dirt with their buckets, and there were two of them, and it was pretty fun. And it was, again, a bit of an inspiring evening and all the accomplishments and what they expect to do going forward with the new building and what they're going to be capable of doing that they can't do so well right now. So I think that's pretty fabulous. And then I attended the tasting and touring ribbon cutting that occurred on Friday at 4 o'clock on South La Patera, and that was fun. They had great wine. I managed to pick up a nice bottle of wine there while I was there. So that was inspiring again that they're in the city of Goleta and easily accessible off of La Patera going to the back. There's a lot of buildings in between, but you go all the way to the back, you'll find them. And so I was pretty impressed with that particular operation. So that's what I've done.
All right, Ms. Perotti.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I too was at the Lemon Festival for the pie eating contest. I just can't. The different techniques are so they're so unusual in how they go about it, and how they don't get sick after eating all that pie, especially the really little ones. I don't know how they do it, but it was really fun to be part of that. Yes, I too was at the library ad hoc on the 26th meeting, and that will be coming back to the full council. Also on the 28th of September, we held our monthly regional Central Coast Collaborative on Homelessness meeting here in this room, and we're getting more and more people to show up to those meetings, from housing authority to the county to people's self-help to our faith-based groups to safe parking. So it's turning into a really nice group, and at these meetings we kind of fill in the group on what we've been doing at our weekly meetings and the clients that we're working with. We bring them up to speed. And it was nice having John Polanski there from the Housing Authority, because I know he's always looking to see if we can have a more housing, affordable housing in Goleta. So he has a lot of ideas. And so it's great having having him at the meetings. The 28th also, I went to a sponsored, it was sponsored by Coast. It's a program called Walking Wednesday, and they had them once a month, I think throughout the whole summer, and I've not ever been able to attend, but I went to this particular one. It was their last one because the time is going to be changing, and it was on drought resistant landscaping. And we walked all over. We walked all, from Olive and Anapamu down to the Bowl and all through the neighborhoods. And we went with a landscape architect who showed us some designs of some really interesting designs. And I brought up to Coast. I said, what if we did something like that in Goleta and maybe did it through Old Town and just different neighborhoods and look at the architect and maybe have it on a Saturday? So that's something for future discussion. But I think that would be really fun. Walk to School Day, Bow Wow Wednesday is this coming Wednesday, October the 5th. So I will be at Brandon School, but there will be other several schools participating in Goleta. So I just
really encourage everyone to really slow it down around our schools and really be aware of a lot more kids on the streets. And I just have to say, Councilmember Bennett, I am going to miss going to the League of Cities with you, but I have that family reunion that I can't get out of, so have fun. Bring back lots of good literature.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo.
Thank you. So what happened here in the last couple of weeks? We had the Goleta Community Center Board of Directors meeting, and it was exciting to hear that they're moving forward with partnering with a nonprofit that's just forming for a computer lab in the building, which is a dire need in Old Town for some of the families there, both for the kids to do homework and things like that, of course, which the Boys Club somewhat fills. It's not my only Boys Club plug tonight, but I'll throw that one out there. But also for adults, too. You know, these days, most of the larger businesses, they don't take resumes by paper anymore. They want you to go online and fill things out. So that's a big step forward for those kind of things and others. So that was exciting. The Lemon Festival, of course, is always fun. It was brutally hot, as I already mentioned. That pie-eating contest was a lot of fun. In fact, there must be genetics involved because there was a mother-daughter team that won in separate divisions, and I'm not sure how that works, but that worked out well for them. And I know, you know, it was hot because my evening Rotary group sells lemonade there, and they made a killing that weekend, more so than usual. So I think it's just the evening Rotary, isn't it, Councilman Bennett? Okay, I wasn't sure. It's not really specifically a city event, but, you know, Cottage Hospital has gone through a major software conversion in the last weekend. And, of course, I know because, as I've told most of you, my wife works there. And I just want to thank the staff there. My wife worked all but 7 hours this weekend. And I don't mean, you know, like, I mean, like, literally all but 7 hours. They had to go through a massive migration of their software. And so I know a lot of that staff on all levels worked a lot of hours to improve service at our local hospitals, at all the local hospitals. So I want to thank them, if hopefully they're sleeping and not watching at this point. But if they are watching, I want to thank them for their efforts. It was a big task, and they're not done yet, but it was a big weekend for them getting to that point. I met with Mr. George, who was here tonight, with the Newtown Safety Committee, and he went over some concerns he has, some that he's expressed before and others that are new. And so I know he's working closely with Rosemary, he says good things about Rosemary, so that's good news to hear. I'm looking forward to Wednesday when we go to the Bow Wow thing. This will be my first Bow Wow event. I think the kids will be disappointed that Councilman Bennett won't be there with all his toys, but I'm going to be a big disappointment as a replacement for you, that's for sure, because I think I might have to go buy presents for these kids or something. I don't know, just to keep up. We'll have Silly Putty. And then last but not least, the Boys Club. They had their community council event. They have a community council meeting every month, and I'm a member as well as Deputy Valadez, and things are going well at the club. Their attendance continues to grow to the point where they need to find some more space. They've actually filled up their building, so that's good news. And they're continuing to do great things, more and more Gold Club members and everything else. Again, their event is just a couple weeks from now, October 22nd, the big fall gala. That's always a lot of fun. If you have the opportunity to go, you really should. And then lastly, thanks to Mayor Farr continuing to tease me about my Boys Club sponsorship, they've asked me to join their United Boys and Girls Club board. So, of course, I couldn't say no after all the big talk I do up here, so I will be joining their board starting next month. So,
well, they'll be better off for having you on the board.
Thank you.
Councilmember Aceves.
Thank you. I was only able to go to one day of the Lemon Festival because this Sunday I went up to San Ynez, where they had a fundraiser for the barn raising for the new location for the sheriff's mounted unit. Really well attended. They raised a lot of money. Nice new building there. So I think, and it's in San Ynez, so it's central to a lot of area they need to go to. Let's see. This Thursday, the mayor pro tem didn't mention it, but him and I are going to be center field for the UCSB soccer team. They're having their annual Hispanic
month celebrations, and they invited us to go to center field. I did that when I was mayor in 2013, I believe, and it's a really nice event. They give us a soccer ball and signed by the team, and yeah. You always hope that one of the soccer players will make it to the pro ranks, so that ball will be worth something. But they're doing quite, you know, it's going to be a nice event. That's Thursday. That's going to be a full day. Let me get a couple other things in. This, you mentioned the 22nd for the Boys Club. The 22nd is also the day of the Dos Pueblos 50th anniversary gala, and it's going to be at the Glenny Golf Club. The Friday before, they're playing at home against Santa Barbara, I believe.
Oh, the big game.
So it'll be a big game, but they're making a big deal out of it. They're going to have, I think, every homecoming queen that's still around from the history of the school going to show up. So if you have a chance to participate, if you have a chance to go to the gala or go to the game, recognize the school. This weekend is a Fiddler's Convention or festival at Stowe Park, and they're asking for volunteers. So those that are watching us today, if you've ever been, you just want to go enjoy it, if you want to go volunteer, go on their website and see where you can help them. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a program that my wife's involved with. It's a family service agency. They're having their senior program, senior expo at Earl Warren Showgrounds on Wednesday. And there's a lot of nonprofits there providing information to help our seniors in our community. And I think that, though, all you Dos Pueblos High School alums, go on their website. If you haven't already, sign up on their Facebook so you get all information about what's happening at DP. So that's it. Thank you. Oh, I did have one thing. I'm sorry. One thing. And I'd ask for council or a member to join me on this. I haven't spoken to the manager or the city attorney on this, so we'll have it come back. But, you know, every Easter, the pet shops sell bunnies. And most of the bunnies they sell are not spayed. And what happens is, after the cuteness of the bunny goes away, they end up getting released. And if you know, bunnies can reproduce at great numbers, and so it causes a great impact to some of our nonprofits and our animal shelter and having to take care of these bunnies. So I would hope that we at least look into creating an ordinance in the city of Goleta that we would not allow our pet stores to sell bunnies, especially unspayed bunnies. But I think it would take some research from our staff as we can do it or not. But I would like council consensus at least to have our staff look at it and come back and see if it's something we can do.
I'm all for protecting the bunnies.
All right. Are there? Is that something you want us to comment on now? Or
you want to comment on bunnies? No. It'll come back to us, and then we can comment. All right.
It's probably safer if we don't comment. So.
All right. So I had a limited participation in some things. I'm very sorry to say I missed the Lemon Festival. I had three rides. It disappeared on me, so... But I opened the TNT with Mr. Bennett, and that was quite a nice event. I happen to know the people that started that, and they've been friends of mine for decades. And it's a very nice place over there, a very nice wine warehouse, too. And I think we're very happy and lucky to have them here in Goleta. Now, I should, in the interest of full disclosure, I should tell you, this Thursday at 10:30, I have a driving test with the DMV, so you might want to be looking out for me then.
We haven't passed that new ordinance yet.
Oh, boy.
speaking of zero vision. Okay, now, City Manager, would you like to tell us, Ms. Green, what you've been doing?
I just have a couple of items. First of all, this week, starting last week, but continuing this week and for the near future, on Hollister Avenue at the Community Center and at Orange, we have construction activities happening that the public should be aware of. We've got the Hawk Signal installation in front of the Community Center and the rectangular rapid flashing beacon at Hollister and Orange. There will be some intermittent lane closures to accommodate the installation of the equipment as the work progresses. And the other item I wanted to mention may seem a little premature, but time is going to go quickly. I wanted to let council and the public know that December 12th is the day scheduled for the Old Town Christmas Parade, and staff is working with the Old Town Goleta Christmas Parade group, I don't know if they're a committee or a group, to review their application for the event and to work with them on the various aspects of how to pull that event together. So we're looking forward to that. The group's been very responsive in getting information to us, and we're just wrapping up our review process before we issue the permit. And that's it.
I think Mayor Pro Tem Vallejo can tell us something more about the Christmas parade.
Just briefly, thank you for reminding me, and the staff has been really great in working with the committee. I'm on that committee, and I would just add that we're still fundraising. So if anybody's watching that wants to help make the very first Christmas parade in Old Town Goleta happen, we're raising money to pay those exorbitant city fees and everything. Just kidding. To pay the fees and the staff we need to make the parade happen. So contact Phil or Phoebe in Old Town, and they can help you with that.
My Elks Lodge is a sponsor.
They are, and I should thank. Should I thank you? Was that your idea, or
it was a group effort?
All right, we'll give you credit. You're here, so.
All right, good. That's going to be great fun. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Giles, do you have a report? He has no report. You know what that means? That means that we have come to the end of our tether for the evening. So I'll close this evening session of the Goleta City Council.